Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Miracle Man here. You're now live on the Preacher and the Miracle Man show on a Friday night this time. And we're so glad to have you with us. I'm at McDonald's on 1711 South Saginaw Road. I am across the road from a Kmart. I am northwest of a Marathon gas station and southeast of a disability network for Mid-Michigan office. And so what I thought I would do tonight is take some time to do something that I did pretty much when I first launched this program around the end of July. And that is that I would take some time tonight to talk about my testimony as far as what God has brought me through. And so is what I feel like God would have me do tonight. And so that is what I'm going to do. Before I get into that, though, I am going to do my couple of reminders about how you can have your friends and family to connect with the show. And so here's how this works. You tell your friends and family, or whoever else, you go to blogtalkradio.com. Again, that is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. Then you'll see that search bar. You type in Upfront Entertainment. Upfront Entertainment, that's what you type in. And then you hit enter. And then there'll be a link. You click on the link. And that will be going to happen. What's going to happen is what's going to happen is that you're going to be taken to that link, and you're going to be on the program with us so that you can talk to us and listen to us. And it is a very smart thing to follow this program on your smartphone and to listen to this program on your smartphone. And remember to hit that follow button. When you hit that follow button, you're going to be notified every time we do a show. Every time we do a show, you're going to get notified. Oh, yeah, we're going to do Preacher and Miracle Man. We're going to do a show. And we have all the shows we've done archived, so you can go back and listen to them. So you can go back and listen to the great shows that we've done, all the episodes, all the everything that we've done. It's all archived so you can listen. Also, special number where you can call in and talk to us about whatever you want to talk about, be it sports, be it a testimony you want to share. Do you want prayer? If you know, whatever you want, you can call us at 215-383-3810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. You can, and then you will press 1. After you hear the prompt, you press 1, and you'll be taken through the screener. And if all comes back good, we'll let you in. Now we ask two things. Number one, this is not a political show. Talking about politics doesn't exactly breed life necessarily. That's not what we do on the show. there are great conservative political talk shows that you can listen to. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Laura Ingraham, among others. But I'm not one of them. Now, I vote and stuff, and all that, and do my duty, but we just don't talk about politics on the show. I don't feel like that is what God wants me to do. So I don't talk about politics on the show for that very reason. So if it's politics you want to talk about, we're going to ask you to pray over your leaders. Rule number two. This is a family show, which means keep whatever comments you want to give and anything you want to say and what have you, any stories. Keep it age appropriate for all. I'm going to come up with, here's basically going to be the rule. If you wouldn't want Jesus or you kids to hear you say it, don't say it on this program. Okay? It's kind of like that if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. My rule is if Jesus or your children wouldn't want to hear you say it, then don't say it on this program. So that's how it's going to be. Yes, we can still talk about sports and all that, but there's verses for why I have that rule, like don't let, you know, out of your lips. And so we just ask you to, one, no politics, and two, family friendly. With that, we're going to get open with a word of prayer. Then after that, I'm going to read. I'm going to open the Bible and do some reading. And then after that, I'm going to use my exhortation time to talk about my testimony. So with that in mind, here we go with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful listeners that have joined into this program. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on their life. I give you praise and honor and glory for that, Lord God. I just thank you that you're speaking to me, my lips, you speaking to them. I just thank you, Lord God, that you use me, my mouth tonight, and what you would have me say to these listeners. And I just claim that these people have it in them to listen to me. And I just thank you, Lord God, that I thank you, Lord God, that this listenership continues to grow. And I pray that money comes in. I pray for great sponsors for the show. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon the show. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you got your Bibles with me, let's just turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to go and see what happens with Moses. And if you got your Bible, please open it and study with us. This is not just the Miracle Man show. We want you to participate with us. And I'll plug it in. So we would like you to really just dig in and read what, and we would just like you to, we would like you to just be right there with us and follow along with us and participate. So, with that in mind, my Bible is open to Exodus chapter 3, and so I will be beginning. We're going to be reading about the burning bush. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see. I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush did not burn up. The Lord saw that he had gone over, called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place which you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. They asked him, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said, Moses I am, who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name where I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you, and I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. For I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us 3-day journey to Nashville to spend our money, go shopping, eat some fried stuff, go to Opry Mills Mall, you know, talk to all the pretty country singers. Does it say that, preacher man?
You got ahead of me there. I was behind the password. No, that's not what it says. That's not what was happening.
Oh, it doesn't. Huh. Let me find my place again. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you are the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to eat some cactus. No, it doesn't say that. It says into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God.
Yep.
But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand, and I will strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go, and I will make the Egyptians favorably, and I will make the Egyptians favorably exposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor for any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold, and for clothing which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and look at these faithful verses before. And then after that, I'm going to tell my testimonial story. Man,
how you doing? I'm supposed to meet him at 5:30. Yep.
So, sorry, we were just dealing with the phone thing. That's the only reason why I said man like that. Hebrews 11. We're going to start with verse 1, read all the way through 11, and then we're going to read the first two verses of 12. Here we go. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being certain of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man. And when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks, even though by faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. And for when he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he did not yet see, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he obeyed the word, and he became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so this one man, and he was as good as dead, and his descendants became as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. They had been thinking of the country they had left. They would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac the offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. And by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. She regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt. He was not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover with the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient to God. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in two. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. And they were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12 and read the first two verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who with the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you the story, Me, the Miracle Man. So, I did this when I initially launched the program, but it might have been a shorter version, but without further ado, here we go. So, I was born into this earth out of wedlock on July 20th of 1989 at the hospital in Midland. Well, when I was born, I had some deformities. My jaw was where my ear should have been. And so that made it really hard to be able to eat food, start to swallow, stuff like that. When I was 3 days old, I had a surgery so I could suck. And when I was 10 days old, I had a surgery so I could swallow. And then I was at the hospital for a while, and then later I was allowed to go home. At 3 months old, I could actually see for the first 3 months of my life. But at 3 months old, I had an eye disease called amaurosis. And what that does, amaurosis does, is it's an eye disease that ends up taking your eyesight in some cases. And in my case, that's what happened. I completely lost my eyesight at 3 months old. After that, we started dealing with some seizures that were messing with me, and we got them fixed. But then, about a year and a half old, my mom took me to, we were at a McDonald's restaurant in Auburn, I believe it was, and my mom found some colon lining in my diaper. And then got rushed to Ann Arbor, and it turned out that I had colon cancer. And so so I had colon cancer. We were dealing with that for a while. A doctor came into the room in Ann Arbor and told my mom, Lori Lang, and those who were with us, they basically said, "Now, Julie, we can give your son a shot. This shot can put him to sleep, and he won't suffer anymore." And I was like, okay. She prays about it, decides, my son is not getting a shot. We're going to fight this through. We're going to walk this through. So a little bit later, we get home from the hospital after some treatment. And my mom's on the couch crying for like 3 days. She's on the couch sobbing, crying, praying for me. On the third day, she calls Pastor Barclay and says, basically, it would have sounded something like this. Hi, Pastor, it's Julie. I was wondering if you could please send someone over, you know, to help me and be with me and do some things for me and what have you. And Pastor Barclay said one of the greatest things. He said, "Now, Julie, nobody's coming. Nobody's coming. You need to learn how to get up and fight yourself. And to believe God. Know that Jesus will see you and rivers through." And so my mom said, "Okay, Pastor." And so you just think about that and go, wow. And so that's what happens there. And she gets up and she continues to believe, she would continue to believe God, and I got healed of that colon cancer. I had some kidney trouble at the same time, and God healed me of that. Next up, a little bit later in my life, at about 4 years old, my mom took me to Ann Arbor for a checkup, the craniofacial office, you know, at Ann Arbor Hospital, and they basically said, "Now, Julie, your son would greatly benefit from some facial reconstructive surgery on the right side of his face. It's going to be quite a few surgeries, but we cannot do those certain surgeries here that your son needs." So they referred us to Detroit. Detroit said, "Yes, he needs these surgeries. We can't do them here." So, long story short, we were referred to and sent to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so they meet us, and they say, "Julie, your son needs this, and we can do this, and can make your son's life a whole lot better." And I believe it was the first surgery. They did a little bit of work on my right side. They discover that they found a way to connect my canal to my right ear thing so that I can hear well out of my left ear. Because before that, I had to use a halo in order to hear. So at that time, for the first time, I could actually hear well for the first time. And I would listen to the Bible a lot when I'd be in that hospital room, when I'd be at Ronald McDonald House there in Chattanooga. And the Chattanooga surgeries was 17 surgeries, 6 weeks off, 6 weeks on. 6 weeks here in Midland, 6 weeks in Chattanooga. And the final round was several different surgeries, and I was in Chattanooga for 4 months. And one of the times, I was in surgery for like 18, 19 hours, and my heart stopped. And that leads me to this. 4 different times, the spirit of death tried to take my life. And that was one of those times, right there in that Chattanooga hospital. The other 3 times were a little bit prior to that. One of them was with the cancer. Another time, I think, was one of the seizures. These doctors in Ann Arbor, or Chattanooga, before Chattanooga even, they were saying, "This child of yours, Julie, will probably not live. He's profoundly mentally retarded. He's autistic. He's blind. He's deaf. He has all these certain things wrong with him." They said, "The latest I can see, we can see him living is 12. He won't be able to carry himself past 7. He won't be able to carry himself past 8, and he won't be able to live past 12. Well, the devil lied. The devil lied. big time. Because I lived past 12, not once, but twice. I'm 28 now. And God has seen me through. But I'm going to continue on with the journey. So, after Chattanooga, all those surgeries are done. And then about a year later, 1996, I have some warts on my hands. And so my family doctor here in Midland refers me to this man in Bay City. And so we take part of a day. I'm off school for part of a day so I can go to this doctor's appointment. And so I go to Bay City, and we believe in God. I'm praying. Mom's praying. They're saying, you know, they're talking about how I won't be able to read Braille, you know, with those words. He's like, I want to be able to read Braille. She's like, I want to be able to read Braille and all that. And I got these words. But this man is cussing at my God, Jesus. He's cursing like crazy. He's yelling. He's mad. He's anything but helpful. Not a nice man. But you know what? God healed my hands of those warts. God healed my hands of those warts. And also, this was before that, but my immune system used to be very weak. Now I have a good, strong immune system. I don't get sick like I used to when I was super little. Not as often. After that, I struggled with some behavior issues for a couple years, a little bit later after that, and I'd have to be sent home a lot from school, a lot, and I would be pretty destructive and disruptive. And I hurt one of my peripherals. I kicked a bus aid. I threw a microwave. I did some things I wasn't proud of. And I'm not proud that I did them still. I wish I didn't do them. But God delivered me from that destructive path and that destructive behavior. And God saw me through that. My mom is praying and renewing something to change. I go to a different school program. They help me. But ultimately what helped me? God helped me. God helped me. God freed me and delivered me from that kind of behavior. Because I was mad. It was different from Mark Barclay. I didn't say worse. I said different. Because I wasn't exactly vulgar, but I was at times violent and destructive. But God healed me of that. But later, I did great in middle school, but then later on in high school, for a year, one semester of 1 year, freshman year, and then the first semester of sophomore year, I struggled with grades a bit. And I wasn't necessarily failing classes, but I was not doing great. I was not doing great. And not doing homework at times, struggling. And ultimately, God helped me. Got those grades up. Was able to pass those classes. Even though I wasn't failing them, I wasn't doing great in them. And then God helped me through that. And then I was on the honor roll for all of my high school career after that. And then college, at times it was very hard. And then over time, in general, it kind of got easier for me. And God helped me through it. And I told the story about how in chemistry, how God helped me through that. I'm not sure I would have been as well off as I am without God. I know I wouldn't. I already know I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God. It wasn't, and if it wasn't for my mom, and if it wasn't for Dr. Buckley. No, it's not like he had all the power in the world necessarily. And ultimately, all the glory goes to Jesus. Because I don't worship Mark Buckley. I don't worship my mother. I don't worship Living Word. I worship God, Jesus. Now Living Word helped me. And my mother has been there for me and raised me right and helped me. And Mark T. Buckley loves me and he's helped me. But ultimately it's God who gets all the glory. And so I just thank God all the time for everything he's brought me through. And he's always going to be there for me for what comes next. And I'm going to continue to conquer battles. I'm going to, by faith, I'm going to nourish my body. I'm going to get my eyesight back. And then I'm going to get my ear canal in Jesus' name and the right ear so I won't need a hearing aid anymore on my right side. And I believe that Jesus is going to see me through. And I believe that he is going to help me in every area of my life. And I believe that I'm going to do well in broadcasting and make great, fantastic money. And I believe that I'm going to just be wonderful at whatever God wants me to do. And that God is going to be my guide for me every step of the way. And so, everybody's story is different. My story has healing components as well as a deliverance component. I don't have a salvation testimony per se. I do, but it was when I was really little. And I was not a drunk. I was not a druggie. I was not crazy out in the world like a lot of these preachers who end up getting saved and giving their life to Christ. Like Dr. Buckley. But it is still a great testimony. And it's always great for people to hear people's testimonies. That's why I took time tonight to share about the great testimony of God and what he did in my life and everything he free me from and deliver me from. And that he's going to continue to help me through life. And he's always going to be there for me. And so I thought I should sing a song that I've sang before on the show either once or twice, but I feel like I should sing it again, so I'm going to. So here we go. The one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible, he's reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The power to come. No, the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. And now before I move on to talk about sports for a couple of minutes, I thought that it's fitting that I should pray over these great people. Lord God, I just thank you right now for these wonderful listeners who are listening to this program. I thank you, Lord God, that this testimony that I took some time tonight to share, I thank you, Lord God, that this testimony ministered to these people who are believing for something, for a miracle, whether it be finances, healing in their body, a prodigal son or daughter to come home. Maybe they're believing for a child. Maybe they're just believing for some kind of direction. And I just pray, Lord God, that you use this testimony and to show them, to show that we are warriors, we are conquerors through you, Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you, Lord God, that these people understand the great story of their journeys that I have faced through life and the great testimony that God has delivered me and healed me life of various abnormalities and infirmities. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to finish the work that you started in me, and that I will see my complete manifestation of my wholeness and healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this episode has been brought to you by it's been brought to you by McDonald's, who has relaunched the dollar menu, but it's actually the $1, $2, and $3 menu now. And here are some examples of what you can get for the various price points. For a dollar, you can get any size soft drink. You can get a cheeseburger. You can get a McChicken. You can still get a hash brown for a dollar because you've been able to get that for a while, so that's not on the menu. And you can get a sausage burrito. For $2, you can get a small cold McCafe beverage, a two-piece chicken tender. For $3, you can get a triple cheeseburger and a Happy Meal, and there's something else, but I forget what it is. And so that's your $1, $2, and $3 menu available at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Tax extra. This show has also been brought to you by Coca-Cola, which is best pop ever, best soda ever, and wants you to taste the happiness. Before I close, last night I did my football predictions, and so I thought I would real quickly go through them again, the predictions that I made last night as far as for these football games that are this weekend, including the Monday night college football game, and these games that I picked and who I thought would win. And so, here we go. This weekend, on the NFC side, you have number 6 Atlanta at number 3 seed the Rams. And I said that the Rams would beat the Falcons, and I'm sticking to it, and it's going to be 35-28 Rams over the Falcons, 35-28. On the other NFC game, you have the Saints taking on the Panthers in New Orleans. I said it would be Panthers over Saints, 31-28. That's my story. I'm sticking by it. Panthers over Saints. AFC. You have the Jaguars taking on the Bills in Jacksonville. What I see is Jaguars beating the Bills, it's gonna be it's gonna be 27-20 Jags over Bills. On the AFC side, and then also in the NFC, in the AFC, you have Chiefs versus Titans in Kansas, in Kansas City, like the radio broadcaster says. But ultimately, instead of hearing touchdown Kansas City, instead you will hear touchdown Titans a little more. Not a lot more, just a little more. I think the Titans are going to beat the Kansas City Chiefs and make it known that they can now be a contender, as they made the playoffs for the first time since 2008. And I think you're going to see this. Titans, 32. Chiefs, 27. Monday night, the college CFP championship. You have Alabama taking on Georgia in Atlanta. And what I see is Georgia beating Alabama by a score of 24-21. 24-21, Georgia over Alabama. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. So, again, to repeat, NFC side, first Saturday's game, I have Rams over the Falcons. For Sunday, I have Panthers over the Saints. AFC side, Titans over the Chiefs, and Jaguars over the Bills. And then I have Georgia over Alabama for the Monday night college football final. Tonight, Pistons are at home. And I do see a win for them tonight. I think they're going to win by a score of 100-90. They're going to be at Little Caesars Arena, so they'll have the crowd noise to help them. And in basketball from last night, you had Michigan State just romp Maryland 95-60, 35-point difference. Michigan is number one in the country for a reason. Michigan State is ranked number one in the country for a reason. I've always been a Sparty basketball fan. I believe in Izzo. I love Izzo to pieces. I still do. And they're just doing great things over in East Lansing. And I really hope to get to a game there someday. And so, and then the Red Wings also play very soon. And Lions are continuing to have interviews for the coaching search as they look to find a replacement for Jim Caldwell, who was fired on Monday. And I will continue to let you know and how these interviews go. And hopefully they'll find a coach soon. And that is everything for now. And so now I'm going to say the Psalms 91, and that is this. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess Psalm 91 over these people. Jesus, I claim that no evil shall befall them, and no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling, for he has put his angels in charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say no drug driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no murderer, no fire, no flood, no crash, no frozen pipes, no terrorist, no sickness, no disease. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us. We're going to live in great peace, and great joy, and be a powerful witness for our Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And until next time, God first, God always, and have a nice weekend, everybody.